all of these lines grow and develop through all of the levels that we've talked about. So here, what it means for morals is that they start out in a very egocentric, self-centered way, and then they move to ethnocentric, or what's right for the particular group I'm in, and what the group says is right, or my country right or wrong, or my religion right or wrong, and it can be very conformist. And then it's breaking free of that into deciding what's right based on my own conscience and principles of universal fairness, not just what's right for me or my group, but for all people. And so moral intelligence is an incredibly important intelligence for us in terms of doing the right thing as we live together. And it in a sense, it's a crucial glue to a societal hanging together. So moral intelligence is a very important type of smarts that people can have. Fortunately, all of these can be learned, and everybody starts at square one with all of them. Nobody's born a moral genius. Nobody's born an IQ genius. Nobody's born an emotional genius. All of these things are learned and developed. And so that's good news. There are, depending on who's writing, there are usually given anywhere from 7 or 8 intelligences to upwards of 1 to 2 dozen. People are sometimes quite quick to take any particular talent or gift or trait and make it into a line of development. But we have to be a little bit careful about that, because lines of development generally mean those things that are present in all people and that develop through the same number of stages in all people. And so that's a little bit more of a technical definition of what it is. The important point is that each of these lines of development are ways that we can be smart about how we interact with the world. That also implies, as we're unaware of these lines, that those are ways we can be stupid with the world. And clearly, we don't want to do that. But since these are relatively new understandings, there are a lot of people that still haven't heard about them, still don't know about them, and still haven't really worked on developing them. So for any superhuman operating system, if we want to help create somebody that's going to be able to interact with the world in the smartest, best possible way they can, that they're at least aware of these lines, they know generically what they do, and then they can decide if they want to work on them, not work on them, if they're doing fairly okay with them, or if they really do need to pay some attention to them. Another one is spiritual intelligence. And this is a very important intelligence, because it shows us, as I'm sure we'll discuss down the line, one of the major problems with spirituality in the world today. And I'll preface that very briefly by saying that as we go through this, we'll see that there are two major types of spiritual experience. One has to do with what we'll eventually call states of consciousness. And these are direct, immediate experiences. So you can actually have direct spiritual experience. And these are known variously as awakening, enlightenment, satori, transmutation, metanoia, and so on. And it's awakening to the ultimate ground of being and feeling a direct oneness with that ground of being. And it's generally held to be the single greatest experience humans can have. It's the top of the list of the summum bonum of goodies that you would like to have in your column. And so that's one type of spiritual experience. And it comes with states, which we'll be looking into next. The other is a little bit more intellectual. That's not necessarily bad, but it means that we approach spiritual realities when asked questions like, what is it that's of ultimate concern to me? What is it that really matters to me? What is the biggest value that I have? What's more important to me than anything else that I can think of? And that answer to that question is part of spiritual intelligence. And again, it will evolve through these levels we've discussed. So it can start at very low levels, where what's the most important thing to a human being is food. So you can say for a child, it's in the first 6 months, its spiritual intelligence would say that the most important thing to it is food. So the child's religion is food. That will continue to grow and evolve into higher and higher values as we go along. But it is important because it's a way that we picture big pictures. So ultimate concern doesn't mean, you know, just what's important at work, or what's important in a relationship, or what's important in play, or what's important when I'm home watching TV, or anything like that. It means my whole life, taken as a whole, what is the most important ultimate concern that I have for that? Some people have never asked the question. And just asking the question, again, in so many cases, it's psychoactive. It will get you thinking along that line. And you don't have to sit around and consciously ponder it all day and chew your knuckles and bite your nails. Just ask the question, put it into your mind, and let it rest. And so we'll be getting to that as well. So these are some of the developmental lines or multiple intelligences that we talk about. And clearly, they each cover aspects of life that we want to be able to address in a fairly intelligent way. And the fascinating thing about evolution is that over the years, evolution has designed capacities in our brain to actually deal with the major questions that life throws at us. So, life will throw a question, is that thing I saw real or not? And it developed an intelligence called cognitive intelligence that would actually examine that and try to determine, is that real? Is that not real? Life would throw a question at us, what am I feeling? And how's it compare to what that person's feeling? How should I interact with that? And it developed an emotional intelligence. Other questions life would throw at us is, what is it that is of ultimate concern to me? And it developed a spiritual intelligence, an actual capacity that we have. What is the right thing to do in this situation? Comes up all the time. And it turns out that we have an intelligence that has evolved to deal with that question. And so if we're faced with a question, what is the right thing to do in this circumstance? I want to use moral intelligence. I don't want to use logico-mathematical intelligence. That's just not going to help me very much. I don't want to use musical intelligence. That's not going to help very much. And so we want to make sure that we develop something that could be called appropriateness, which is that whenever I get in a dilemma, I call on the appropriate intelligence. And so learning to do that and doing that is going to give me the chance of drawing on an intelligence that's been evolving for 50,000 years, as opposed to something that I just pull out of the air on the moment and take my best stab at. So these are crucial issues.